Have you ever spent an entire afternoon in meetings that could have been emails, or navigated approval processes so convoluted they'd make Kafka weep? That suffocating sensation isn't just in your head. It's what happens when organizations accumulate what researchers call bad friction. But here's the twist. Not all friction deserves elimination. Sometimes the obstacles we're racing to remove are actually the guardrails keeping us from disaster. This paradox sits at the heart of understanding how great organizations actually work and why Silicon Valley's obsession with frictionless everything might be leading us astray. A Dutch supermarket created a slow lane for elderly customers who valued conversation over speed. This counterintuitive move reveals a crucial insight. Friction isn't always bad. Sometimes difficulty creates value that convenience never could. Military boot camps make training grueling because hardship forges bonds. IKEA furniture frustrates us, yet we value it more because we assembled it. Psychologists call this the IKEA effect. We cherish what costs us effort. The skill lies in knowing what deserves ease versus difficulty. When Hawaii Pacific Health discovered doctors spent 43% of their time on records, but only 13% with patients, Dr. Melinda Ashton launched Getting Rid of Stupid Stuff. Eliminating one unnecessary click saved 1,700 nursing hours monthly. Meanwhile, Rome and Haas deliberately slows major decisions, considering five stakeholder perspectives first. This intentional friction produces better outcomes and better leaders. Winston Churchill's 1940 Brevity Memo recognized that other people's time isn't infinite. He urged shorter reports, understanding that unnecessary complexity wastes an organization's most precious asset, human attention. Effective leaders see themselves as trustees, protecting what others can never reclaim. This trustee mindset operates within the cone of friction, your zone of potential impact where you can make things easier or harder. Dropbox CEO Drew Houston demonstrated this in our meeting get-in, clearing everyone's calendars for 2 weeks and establishing new guidelines. Meeting culture eventually deteriorated again, proving that friction fixing requires constant vigilance. Five commitments guide effective trustees. First, treat your organization as a malleable prototype rather than permanent fixture. Second, celebrate doers over talkers, those hollow Easter bunnies who sound impressive but never follow through. Third, fix problems rather than assign blame. Boeing's toxic culture, where employees hid 737 MAX design flaws, contributed to crashes killing 346 people. Fourth, honor prevention over firefighting. The best systems work so seamlessly, you notice that you don't notice them. Finally, cultivate authentic pride through conscientious care rather than hubristic pride based on inherent superiority. Friction forensics requires asking, is this the right thing to do? Do we have the will and skill to do it well? When something is safe and proven effective, make it quick and easy. Make dangerous or harmful things difficult or impossible. An emergency department study illustrates this principle. General Hospital required doctors to justify ultrasound orders, adding friction that reduced unnecessary tests by 11%. This saved patients 30 minutes, cut costs by $200,000 over 2 years, and had zero negative health impacts. The friction forced doctors to ask, should we do this, not just can we? Yet friction's value depends on perspective. While patients and insurers benefited, doctors faced additional work and the hospital lost revenue. Friction often gets weaponized through dark patterns, manipulative interfaces that trick users. The Roach Motel problem makes services easy to enter but nearly impossible to escape. Amazon's Labyrinthine Prime cancellation exemplifies this, while Netflix offers cancellation in 2 clicks. Netflix's approach forces them to make products so good customers don't want to cancel, rather than trapping dissatisfied users. The most successful organizations master friction shifting, knowing precisely when to accelerate and when to brake. Navy SEALs exemplify this through grueling training that selects individuals who can instantly shift between lightning-fast action and careful assessment. The Help Pyramid offers 5 intervention levels for friction fixers, from least to most transformative. At the bottom, reframing shapes how people feel about unavoidable obstacles. Real estate agent Rumana Jabin uses temporal distancing, helping anxious clients see current stresses will seem minor in retrospect. One level up, navigating means serving as a trail guide, steering people toward helpful allies while avoiding rule-obsessed gatekeepers. The third level, shielding, involves absorbing friction so others don't face it. Good managers act as shit umbrellas. When Pixar co-founders refused to provide layoff names and offered their own instead, they ultimately saved the company. The fourth level, neighborhood design and repair, involves small-scale improvements, like Microsoft shortening meetings by 5 or 10 minutes, creating breaks between exhausting video calls. The highest level, system design and repair, transforms entire organizations. Some changes come as top-down commands, Steve Jobs firing all Apple's general managers upon his 1997 return. Others blend approaches, like Hawaii Pacific Health's Getting Rid of Stupid Stuff campaign or AstraZeneca's Million Hours campaign, which combined corporate interventions with local simplification champions. Organizations repeatedly fall into 5 common traps that create destructive friction. The first, oblivious leaders, occurs when power disconnects people from everyday experiences. General Motors executives avoid frustrating car buying through their product evaluation program, receiving new cars every 6 months for just $250 monthly with free gas and maintenance. This power poisoning shields leaders from everyday hassles and increases selfishness, causing executive magnification when employees pursue instructions more forcefully than intended, like one executive's offhand comment about disliking blueberry muffins, leading to years of staff ensuring they never appeared. To counter this, leaders should be an elephant, not a hippo, referring to hippopotamuses' giant mouths and tiny ears versus elephants' small mouths and giant ears. Microsoft's Satya Nadella practices listening tours, while Starbucks requires all corporate employees to work in stores annually. The second trap, addiction sickness, refers to organizations' chronic tendency to add rather than subtract. As George Carlin joked, "My shit is stuff, your stuff is shit." We see our additions as essential while viewing others as unnecessary. Across 20 studies, people consistently default to adding solutions. Universities exemplify this. Administrative staff ballooned from a 1-to-1 ratio with faculty in 1987 to 2-to-1 by 2008, with each administrator generating new rules strangling capability. The third trap, broken connections, involves communication failures despite skilled staff. A 3-year study of a cancer hospital revealed patients coordinating their own complex treatments across dozens of specialists with little support, what activists called the cancer tax. When Satya Nadella took over Microsoft in 2014, he abolished the toxic stack ranking system that forced managers to rate 10% of employees as poor performers. His One Microsoft philosophy transformed the culture, growing market cap from $300 billion to over $2.5 trillion by 2023. The fourth trap, jargon monoxide, poisons organizations with convoluted language. Whether executives discuss leveraging core competencies or consultants promote fit-for-purpose accountable cells, friction fixers replace hollow jargon with powerful communication. Concrete language, present tense conveying confidence, language suggesting personal choice, sensory metaphors, and framing work as ongoing journeys. The fifth trap, fast and frenzied, examines when excessive speed damages organizations. Companies emphasizing locomotion in mission statements faced more discrimination violations than those focused on assessment. Excessive speed causes burnout, affecting 67% of employees, selfishness, bullying, bad decisions, and diminished creativity. Uber's rapid scaling created massive technical and organizational debt. Becoming a friction fixer is an ongoing journey. Great leaders shift between approaches. Jeff Bezos's framework of one-way doors requiring careful deliberation versus two-way doors enabling quick decisions illustrates this principle. At WD-40, CEO Gary Ridge built a culture where leaders both reward great work and provide honest feedback delivered with respect. Smart friction fixers accept that organizational life will always be messy. The best you can do is move forward, making the right things easier and the wrong things harder.